And so what we're looking for is we're looking for the favor of Yahweh. How to find this? What do we do to get this and increase it? Okay, and so it's just going to be a little sharing on this. And to start with the definition of it, I would say gaining approval or acceptance. Also could be into the grace or ministry type of a deal, but it's a special benefit or blessings that we're looking at. So if somebody asks you for a favor, they're asking you to do something. We're referring to the favor as Yahweh's favor. We want Yahweh's favor. How do we find and get Yahweh's favor? We read about people in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, that had the favor of Yahweh on them. And that's where, okay, hey, that's probably a nice thing to have. So how do we get it? How can we improve that to make ourselves to find more favor? There's also a close association, like I said, between the grace and mercy on this. You see, we're going to see times where people prayed. They were down and out, and they came finally before they repented and cried out, and Yahweh found favor on them. He didn't find favor on them before they did this, but after. So it can be during those times as well. And so there can be, like when somebody's completely down and out, does not mean that they can't have Yahweh's favor. It means humble yourself and come before, and yes, you can have that favor. Favor received from Yahweh depends on His good pleasure and is often extended to responsive prayer or mostly righteous or repentance living, righteous living. Finding favor. I'm going to put out five types of criteria that as I was going through and studying for this that I kind of came up with here. First one is desire for wisdom. Okay, that's the step number one. Number two is diligence, and I'm going to go over each one of these points. Number three, sound discretion. Number four, words uttered. And if I misspelled any of these, don't anybody tell me until afterwards, because I spell check it, but sometimes they don't get them. He caught me on one time. He's like, you misspelled that. And I'm like, dang it. Like, good for you guys. Number five, knowing that Yahweh takes pleasure in our prosperity. Okay? So as when we're doing this, it's one of the biggest things that you're going to see, and especially with the believer, is the mental attitude. And mental attitude is so important for this. And so when we change our thinking and change things within ourselves, that we can gear ourselves or align ourselves. It's just like a magnet. You know, if you're going to get a magnet and it's covered, you want to find out the magnetic north. Okay? And so you get a magnet out and you're like going, okay, I can do this. I know how to do this. And it's been laying around on the ground and it's covered with iron, or you know how it gets all that dust and stuff all connected to it. And you put it down there and what is it? It's really slagging. It just lags behind because of all the junk on this. Well, this is the first thing. This is a prep. Say, how do we find this? How do we knock all that junk off and get going? And the mental portion is the first part of it. So I put the pages on there. We do have kind of a bit of a few scriptures, so I'm going to try to hurry through these. 2 Kings 6:8. Page 387, chapter 6 of 2 Kings, starting in verse 8, top of 387. Okay, and so what we're going to see here is this is kind of a neat thing. This is right prior to this. What, you guys remember what happened? This is where Elijah pulled the... put the wood on and the axe head came back up to the top of the water. Okay. I'm skipping over that, but what a wonderful testimony to lead right into this. And all the miracles that he did back to back to back, one after another. Okay, so here we go here in verse 8, and I'm going to go all the way through 23. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. So he took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be an encampment. The man of God, therefore, sent unto the king of Israel, saying, so as I'm going to kind of follow through this, what was taking place in this, let me just keep going. And the man of God, therefore, sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware of passing by this place, for thither are the Syrians coming down. So the king of Israel sent unto the place, wherefore the man of Yahweh had spoken, a man of Elohim had spoken unto him and warned him and was on his guard there, not once nor twice, but many times. Now it does not say many times, but when you look it up in the Companion Bible, it says many times. Okay. Then was the heart of the king of Syria disquieted concerning this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you not tell me who of our men are for the king of Israel? Alright, we got a spy in the camps, dude.
Yeah.
Every time we do something, they know what we're doing. They know exactly where we're going. What the heck is going on? I tell, here's what we're going to go do. They're one step ahead of us. They're waiting for us when it happens. Somebody is telling. Who's us? Who's the spies? Who is it that's for Israel? Then said one of the servants, now this is the enemy, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet who is in Israel. Tell the king of Israel the words which thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Now that should put some fear into you. If this dude's quoting you and you don't even know who he is and he's got you mapped exactly where he's at, might make you think, wait a second, what the heck's going on. And verse 13, and he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and take him. And it was told him, saying, lo, in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a strong force, and they came in by night and encompassed the city. Now, do you think that Elisha knew that they were coming?
Yeah.
Probably did. I mean, many times before he had to, dude, I got your number, okay? It's like when you're playing somebody, you know, the little game where you put your hands out and whatnot, and you can never win. You're like, dang it, how do you always know? Or you're going to do the rock, scissors, papers, and you always lose. How do you know what I'm going to do? Okay, that's what's happening here. Well, therefore, in verse... let's see here, the end of the part B of 14. Then said his young man unto him, alas, my lord, what shall we do? Saying that to Elisha. Now, verse 16. And he said, do not fear, for more are they who are with us than they are with them. Then prayed Elisha and said, O Yahweh, open, I beseech thee, his eyes, that he may see. And Yahweh opened the eyes of the young man, his servant, and then he saw. And lo, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, that's an interesting point. Okay? And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto Yahweh and said, smite, I beseech thee, these people with sudden blindness. Okay, this is an interesting kind of a blindness. Okay, and we're going to see that here as we continue here on all the way through 23. And he smote them with sudden blindness according to the word of Elisha. Then Elisha said unto them, this is not the way. Okay, now, who are they coming to get?
Elisha.
And who do they see? Elisha. And what's Elisha telling him?
They're in the wrong
place. This is not the way. Neither is this one of the city. Follow me that I may lead you unto the man that you would secure. So he led them to Samaria, and it came to pass when they had entered Samaria that Elisha said, O Yahweh, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And Yahweh opened their eyes, and they saw, and lo, there was in the midst of Samaria and the king of Israel unto Elisha when they saw them. So, all of a sudden, this guy that they've been chasing, he just led them all the way to the enemy camp, and this is the guy they're looking for, an entire army with chariots and everything else. You talk about bold. Okay, yeah, they see, but they do not have eyes to see. Okay, they do not see Elisha. They are looking for him, but they are not seeing him. And I'm like going, that's bold. Now, is that great favor in verse 22? And he said, thou shalt not smite. Okay, I'm sorry, I missed part of it here. Let's go to 21. Then the king of Israel said unto Elisha when he saw them, shall I smite my father? And he said, thou shalt not smite them who... Excuse me. Thou shalt not smite. I have a big note in my Bible, and I put it here a long time ago, and I'm trying to remember. Okay, never mind here. Disregard. A little side note here. It's been in here, and I haven't read it in a while. Them who had... Okay, he said, shall I smite? And he said, thou shalt not smite them who has taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow. Wouldst thou be smiting? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go their way unto their Lord. And he made for them a great feast, and when they had eaten and drunk, he let them go, and they went their way unto their Lord. So then the troops of Syria came again no more unto the land of Israel. Okay? Great favor that he prays this, knows exactly what they're going to do, knows they're coming for him. This is an entire army to get him, and not a single person sees him. And not only do they not see him and go by him, he goes and meets them. Hey, come this way. I'll show you where you want to go. You're in the wrong place. Okay? And then when they open up their eyes, and on top of that, they didn't even get, they were not even smitten. They were released. They were fed and released. And I'm like, this is great favor for Elisha. And you just see this over and over again. And I think to myself, okay, how did he do this? He knew what he had, and so he called it out. He knew what was there in the invisible. We see, in our realm, we see three dimensions, okay? And there's a lot more than three dimensions. Well, we know heaven, where Yahweh is, okay? And Christ sitting on his right-hand side, okay? We can't put a telescope up and see him, you know, looking around at us, looking down at us, but we have different dimensions, and this is a different dimension. The Elisha knew, hey, this is here. We think about the messengers that come to us, or the messengers that are watching over, guarding over us. Okay, we don't see them. Does that mean that they're not there because we can't see them? They don't get picked up on radar or by somebody, you know, with the little, you know, thing trying to monitor or listen to them? But they're there, and he knew they were there, and he accessed this power and the favor. It's a desire to advance or to obtain. Wives will seek the favor. And so I'm going to read some of these because I do have a lot of scripture there. In Isaiah 1:19-20, if you be willing and hearken, of the good of the land shall ye eat. But if you refuse and rebel, with the sword shall ye be devoured. For the mouth of Yahweh hath spoken it. And so all the time when people say, I've never asked you for anything, God. You know, it's like he's a genie. Like, when did I get my three wishes? Okay, and it's not that way. He tells you, if you do this, this will happen. But if you don't do that, this will happen. So there's two ifs in here. Two ifs. And who makes those ifs happen is the person. You want to change your course. You want to get your magnet pointed in the right direction. Follow the correct if. But if you don't follow that, but if you don't, then you have this tape that will take place. And this is where Yahweh's saying that. So when we look at that, we want the favor of Yahweh. Well, but we don't want to pick this if or that if. We just want to kind of go with the motions. And guess what? If you do that, you pick the wrong if. Favor is a reward for righteousness. Okay, and number one, to bring favor into our life starts with, and this was point number one, desire for wisdom. Flip over to Proverbs 8, page 614.
That account Elijah reminds me of. These are not the droids you were looking for.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You move on.
These are not the droids you were looking for. Move on.
That's right. No, and that's exactly it. And they're just like, oh, well, these are not the droids we're looking for. All right. 8, 30 through 35, page 614. Who would like to read that for me? Melania, go ahead and do that, baby. 8, 30 through 35.
Then became I beside him, a firm and sure worker. Then became I filled with delight day by day, exulting before him on every occasion, exulting in the fruitful land of his earth. Yea, my fullness of delight was with the sons of men. Now, therefore, ye sons, hearken to me, for how happy are they who to my ways pay regard. Hear ye
correction,
and be wise, and do not neglect. How happy the man that doth hearken to me, keeping guard at my doors day by day, watching the posts of my gates. For he hath findeth life, and hath obtained favor from Yahweh.
All right, favor from Yahweh, what we're seeking for. So let's look at a couple points on here. Two things that you see that are kind of repetitive. Now therefore, ye sons, hearken to me, how happy are they? So Yahweh wants to just put us under all these burdens and this heavy, heavy yoke that just wears us down so that he can be amused by watching us like ants in an ant farm on a hot day. And what does he say? He goes, happy are they, to my ways pay regard. You want to find happiness. Let's get the right ifs. Let's follow these regulations. Look at the second one. How happy the man that doth hearken to me, keeping guard at my doors day by day. Okay? How happy. How Yahweh wants us to be happy. And so when we see these things put upon us, that the world is dragging us a different direction, Yahweh's like, well, that won't bring you happiness. Happiness comes from me, and it comes within me and following and hearkening to what I tell you to do. And we like going, well, golly, that's kind of tough. And well, against the world, maybe it's tough against the world. But Yahweh knows what we want, and he wants us to be happy for our benefit. Psalms 5:12, for thou wilt bless the righteous man, O Yahweh, as an all-over covering, with pleasure wilt thou encompass him. So some of these scriptures that I'm putting on there, this is just to show you that the righteous man, Yahweh wants to encompass, he wants to put the shield over to, for his good pleasure that he can do these things. Flip back here, or flip forward here a couple pages to 14, 6 through 9. And Elijah, would you like to read this one here for me? Page 619, 14, verse 6 through 9.
A scoffer seeketh wisdom, and there is none, but knowledge to the discerning is easy. Get thee from the presence of a man that is a dullard, when thou perceivest not the lips of ledge.
Knowledge.
The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of dullards is a fraud. The foolish scoff at guilt, but between the upright is good pleasure.
That's it. And the foolish scoff at guilt, that's sin. The foolish scoff at the sin. Oh, give me a break. Everybody does that. This is the way of it. The foolish scoff at sin, that's guilt. Okay, that's what that word is. But between the uprights is good pleasure. And any field goal kicker would tell you that between the uprights is good pleasure. Okay, but between the upright, the righteous, those that are righteous, good pleasure. Good pleasure. We're looking for favor. We're looking for favor. How are we doing this? The favor is that we're happy. We're happy, we're secure, and we are in Yahweh's, we're in His favor, that we found favor within Yahweh. Number 2 point, okay? First one was the wisdom. The wisdom is the first step, that we know Yahweh. So it's funny, I think about the teaching that we had a while back ago, and it was the guy who was kind of a biker gang member, if I remember right, and he started getting on fire for Christ, and he goes there in the sermon, they're like going, the fornicators this and fornicators that. And he had, that's right, these fornicators. And he had no idea what it was. And he's like, I'm fornicating. I had no idea. I had a girlfriend I was living with. And he comes back in and throws her out. Why? Because of the knowledge. He found out that this was guilty. He was sinful. And he found out this is not in keeping with what Yahweh wants. And because of that, here he was, yeah, the fornicators. I had no idea he was one. And move on. Yes, this is the knowledge. Number 2, diligence creates favor. Diligence, okay, to hang in there. Proverbs 13:4, the sluggard desireth, but his soul hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be enriched, okay, which means to persevere, that we continue, that we carry on, that when the going gets tough, the tough continue to keep going. And Yahweh's there with you. He knows what you're going through, but He's looking to favor you. Proverbs 13:11, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but who gathers by labor will increase. We are meant to work, for crying out loud. Diligence, to put your knee to it, to get started. The same way I just talked about that guy. Came in and cleaned house. You got to go. Okay, we are in sin, and I am changing this right now. These types of things. We got to put this in, the labor to increase. Number 3. Sound discretion or good understanding yieldeth favor. When we are looking at the rule book, what Yahweh tells us, if we don't know this, I've heard so many people tell me, you know, the New Bible, there's nothing in the New Testament that speaks against homosexuality. And I'm like, really? Who told you that? Well, I've just always heard that. Well, isn't that convenient? Let me show you some. Okay? Wait a minute, I don't know if I want to know that. But this is it. And this is what happens. Good understanding yieldeth, knowing what Yahweh tells us, so that we can be happy by hearkening to what He has to tell us. Sound discretion is Proverbs 13:15. You see, there's a lot of them here in Proverbs there. Sound discretion yieldeth favor. But the way of the treacherous or unfaithful is rugged or hard. So when we look at it and we think to ourselves, we've got a tough life being a Christian and standing out different from the world, okay? We really, in comparison, when you look at that and you really get into it, what we see on the surface for somebody who's trying to pretend that their life is great, look at how nice everything is, and behind the curtain, it's just complete disaster. It's an earthquake behind the scenes. And that's where Yahweh says, no, I will keep you happy. You follow me, okay? Number 4, words spoken create favor. This is a big one. Proverbs 18:20, of the fruit of a man's mouth shall his inmost mind be satisfied, with the product of his lips shall be satisfied. Busted! Go away! It's Rachel.
I was going to just say, is that Rachel?
Just yeah.
She's like, well, no, I can't see you. Hi, Rachel. That was you.
You got me.
You're a star. Okay, here we go. Back to this here. Okay, of the fruit of a man's mouth. What we're going to see, and when I told you that to start with, when we start doing this, when we start doing the cleaning house or the clearing house, and we're going to put ourselves right, we're going to get the right attitude, and we're going to pick the right ifs, and we're going to follow, and we're going to get the directions right, and we're going to be between the upright. Okay, death and life are the power of the tongue. Okay, and so when you hear somebody say, "Man, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck," and I'm like, "Going, I'm gonna kind of slide away from you, dude." Okay, that tells me that really no good luck to you. No, nothing happens good for you. Are you kidding me? Well, maybe you need to change your mindset or change your position where you are. But to where we're gonna be satisfied, the tongue is a rudder, and we know that from Scripture. And you think about that the tongue as a rudder moveth such a large thing and steereth it, and yet with us and so easy to do that your tongue is just so easy to throw around and just say things and put things out, and you don't even realize what you're saying. Oh man, nothing ever works. Dang thing, I can't believe it. I have such horrible luck. Psalms 141:3, set thou, O Yahweh, a watch in my mouth. Keep thou guard over the door of my lips.
I like that.
And it's great. It's great. And so when you think about that, you almost think about, you know, when I'm filtering coffee or I'm filtering paint, what it's doing is it's pulling all the impurities out and letting everything else go through. And I'm like, wouldn't that be great if you could have some kind of invisible thing that when you set it, you know, it would look like you're speaking one of those Chinese movies? Because everything would be caught in the filter and nothing would come out. But that's it. And the tongue is so important. And so when we're trying to get favor from Yahweh, the points that I showed you, even number five, where we're going to get into point number five, we should be speaking these things out loud. That, yes, I have the favor of Yahweh. Why? Because I'm the son of Yahweh. I'm the son. And guess what? I am standing out and doing more and hearkening to Yahweh's words by virtue of reading the word and taking what the word says. Not what man says, that we're man pleasers, but we're Yahweh pleasers. Yahweh loves a person who wants to come before him. Yahweh, let me please you. What do I need to do it? Well, right here. We'll start. And so this is what this is all about. Keep thou guard over the door of my lips. Proper thinking and vocalizing. Okay? I declare. And so these are some of the things that I came up with here that I just thought about. I'm like, I declare I am highly favored in Yahweh's sight. Well, who the hell are you to say that? Okay? Well, I can show you. Just stick with me. I'll pay attention. I can do this. I can tell you. I'm declared highly favored in Yahweh's sight. Well, that's a pretty bold statement. What makes you so special? Okay, are you some royalty? Are you a senator's son or something? Not at all. Number two, like Joseph, I can prosper in every place and every situation. Was he favored by Yahweh while he was in the pit, while he was with Potiphar? While everywhere he went, Joseph was favored. He was favored. Okay, and so even when you look at it like going, man, things are really bleak. I'm in a prison. How is this favored? I'm favored in a prison? Are you kidding me? And you tell that to the dude next to you. I declare I'm highly favored by Yahweh. Really, dude? Why don't you get yourself out of here? Go ahead and unlock that door. Okay? And this is what we hear, but like that, we can prosper and have favor of Yahweh. Yahweh's favor brings me promotion and increase. Okay? And these are what our mouth and our tongue should be confessing. Yahweh brings me promotion and increase. Go to Psalm 75. So back up here just a skosh.
Little WD-40, I had that.
Page 568, and I just lost my marker, so give me just a second. 568. Elijah, would you like to read this?
Okay.
Or Isaiah, I meant. I'm sorry. You already read one. Do you want to read one?
Sure.
Can you read it?
Close. Do not lift up on high your horn, nor speak of the rock with
arrogance.
For neither from east or west, from the
wilderness
of the mountains cometh
exultation.
For God himself is about to judge. One will he will cast down, another he will lift up.
Very good. And so guess what this says? Hey, quit tooting your own horn.
Yeah.
Okay? Quit tooting your own horn. Who elevated you? So it's really easy. You see that king after king after king that gets exalted, or people that get exalted, and then all of a sudden they get some power, and they're looking around over this kingdom, you know, tens of maybe 100,000 people, and chariots, and food, and crops. And I'm in charge. Look at me. Holy cow. I've got the power. And it's like going, stop tooting your own horn, for know who it is that elevated you and put you in this place, okay? That I may put one cast one down and lift up another, that one person may be elevated and another person may be de-elevated, okay, and that I have the power, that this is Yahweh. And so this is what proper thinking and vocalizing, that if we are following in Yahweh's and hearkening to his will, that we will be the ones that will get the promotion. Proper thinking and vocalization, another one, I believe Yahweh wishes to bless me more than I can ask or even conceive. Amen. Okay? And so by virtue of that, when we say that, what's that saying? We're admitting to ourselves, holy cow, when I leaves my lips as I say that, I believe Yahweh wishes to bless me more than I could ask or even conceive. You think about that and you're like going, holy cow, what am I not asking for? What am I missing? Because if I believe that, if I say that in my heart, I'm cutting myself short. And Yahweh's like going, dude, I got a whole series of garages for you, waiting, just loaded with stuff. Come to me. Ask for these things. These are there. I want to give you this. It's a great favor for me to do this. Does it cost Yahweh anything to do this? No. No, all he does is enlighten. Here it is. Go get it. Here, I'm giving this to you. I'm promoting you, elevating you. Ephesians 3, 16. Excuse me, page 198, chapter 3, verses 16 through 20, and it starts about halfway down, or a third of the way down there on the left side of the page 198.
Can Esther read a sentence?
Sure, Esther.
Why don't you walk up front? I'll
come on up here, baby.
By the microphone. You read one sentence.
I'll let you. You can maybe read the whole verse 16 for me. How's that sound?
Okay.
Okay. Can you read it here? Right here.
On the screen.
Okay.
In order that he may give unto you according to his glory,
glorious riches,
which is with power to be
strengthened
his spirit and the inner man.
Good job, girl! Way to go! Way to go. Here, you can stay up here with me and I read the rest of them. We'll go all the way down to 20. That the Christ may dwell through the means of your faith in your hearts in love, having become rooted and founded, in order that ye may be mighty enough to grasp firmly with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height, to get to know also the knowledge surpassing love of Christ, in order that you may be filled unto all the fullness of Yahweh. Now, in verse 20, now unto him who is able to do above all things, exceeding abundantly above the things which we ask or conceive, according to the power which doth energize itself within us.
Wow.
And that's it. And that's why I say, when we're speaking correctly, when we have the right vocalization, thank you, baby.
Yeah.
You're a good job. When we have the right vocalization, when we say that, when we tell ourselves, we write down these things, and then we verbalize them, that I'm not asking. He can give me more than I even ask or what I can even conceive. Now, think about that conceive. When you start conceiving, gee, what about this? What about that? I mean, oh, holy cow. And Yahweh's like going, yeah, way beyond you, dude. Way beyond that. And so this is where we look at it. And he goes, yes, I'm able to do these things. I'm able to do these things. And finding favor in Yahweh unlocks these things because he's got stores of these things. It's like somebody who has a whole bunch of food that they're never going to eat. And they're like going, I just want to find somebody to give it to. Who wants this? Who wants this? Come get it, and I'll give it to you. And you show up, and here's the favor. Here you go. This is going to take care of you for 4 or 5 years. There you go. You're done. Go. We'll see you later. And he goes, thank you. And that's what Yahweh's doing. It does not cost him anything to do this. This is what he wants to do, his desires. Number 5, knowing that Yahweh takes pleasure in my prosperity. Now, does Yahweh take pleasure in our prosperity? Absolutely. Yahweh doesn't need us to be prosperous for him. Okay? He wants us to be prosperous for us, but by making us prosperous, we can reflect that right back to Yahweh, which is like a cycle where everything, I'm blessed, Yahweh's blessed, and I'm doing his will, and we're all happy together. Yahweh's favor chases me down everywhere I go. If. Okay? The big if. If we're doing that, if we are finding the favor. But we think about that. Yahweh's favor is always chasing me down, always looking for me. Flip over to Psalms 23. Let's see here. That's about there, I think. All right, Psalms 23, page 539. Elijah, I'll have you read these here for me. 23, 3 through 6.
My life he restoreth, he guideth me in right paths for the sake of his name. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death shadowed, I will fear no harm, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou spreadest before me a table in face of mine adversaries. Thou hast anointed with oil thy head. My cup hath run over. Surely goodness and loving kindness will pursue me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of Yahweh evermore.
And that's it. Surely your goodness and loving kindness will pursue me all the days of my life. And everybody knows the one that I shall walk through the valley of death or darkness. Okay, everybody knows that, but we never read past that. That's what somebody says when they think they're about to die. And so as David's pouring out upon this, and he says that I will walk through the valley, okay, and I will fear no harm, but surely goodness and loving kindness will pursue me all the days of my life. Why? Because David found favor in Yahweh. And that's how this is what he said. And he believed this. Yes, I found favor, and Yahweh will give me the favor. Okay? That being said, there's always the but. So people look at it and you're like going, well, I'm living righteous. I believe I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and yet I'm still suffering. What the hell is going on? Why am I going through this? And like I said, even with Joseph, he was favored all his life, but yet when he was in a pit and when he was in prison, he was still favored. He was still favored of Yahweh. 1 Peter 2:19-21, I'm just going to go ahead and read this. If for the sake of conscience towards Yahweh, one beareth grief, suffering wrongfully, for what sort of honor is it? If committing sin and being buffeted, ye endure it. But if doing good and suffering, ye endure it. This is thankworthy with Yahweh. For hereunto have I been called, because Christ also suffered in your behalf, unto you leaving behind a pattern that ye might follow in his steps. Perseverance. We fall back onto the diligence. We're in a tough time. Things aren't going right. We don't feel like we have the favor of Yahweh. And yet, living righteously, we do, and we have those. And so this is what we're reading about here. And even Christ suffered for us. And Christ couldn't ask for more righteous. And Christ suffered horribly because of that. And so this is what it's saying. Hang tough. Be diligent. Hang in there. Moses, favored, but still suffered. Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son or daughter of Pharaoh. He was royalty. He was the guy. He had it made in the shade. Baby, anything you want. You've got the pick of the wives. You've got the pick of the foods. Slaves galore. Nothing. Easy, easy life. Rather choosing to be jointly suffering ill treatment with the people of Yahweh than for a season to be having sin's enjoyment. Accounting his greater riches than Egypt's treasures, the reproach of the Anointed One, for he was looking away unto the recompense. Okay, and this is it, and this is where Moses chose. He goes, no, I could have it, and it looks like I would have favor over here, but I know where Yahweh's favor is, and it looks like a tougher road, but guess what? I will be happy, and I will be able to overcome. Exodus 33:12-14. Then said Moses unto Yahweh, see, thou art saying unto me, take up this people, and yet thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with thee, with me. Though thou thyself didst say, I acknowledge thee by name, yea, moreover, thou hast found favor in mine eyes. Now therefore I pray thee, I have found favor in thine eyes. Let me know, I beseech thee, thy way, that I may acknowledge thee to the intent I may find favor in thine eyes. See thou therefore that this nation is thine own people. So then he said, mine own presence shall go up, thus I give thee rest. Okay, we'll give you rest. And so this is Moses. Moses sacrificed one thing that appeared to be favor for the actual favor of Yahweh. Demonstrated delight is what I would say for that. So when we see this, there's going to be that, where there's going to be times where it doesn't appear like it, and you hang tight, and then all of a sudden you see something, and you're like going, holy cow, thank you, Yahweh, that's wonderful. Lanya, would you like to read this off the screen here for me, sweetie?
2 Chronicles 16:9. Yahweh, seeing that his eyes are ever running to and fro throughout all the earth, to show himself strong with them who are perfect toward himself.
That's it. When we see this, Yahweh's not trying to dangle people over a fire to try to get you to correct. Okay, he wants you to correct. If you choose the wrong path, you already know what's going to happen. You know, it's like a parent telling a kid, you know, if you go out there and ride your bike as fast as you possibly can on a rocky, bumpy road, you're going to fall and you're going to get hurt. Okay, and then the kid goes and does it. Why did this happen? Well, because I told you this would happen. Same thing. But Yahweh is looking for those people. He's looking to pour out the favor. And guess what? Not many people are searching for Yahweh's favor. And so here we are in a world where he's given all these things. Christ pays the price for us to have the Holy Spirit. and to be called, you know, fellow heirs with him, as, you know, brothers, fellow heirs, that we are the sons of Yahweh now. And he's looking to pour out this favor upon the believers. And people aren't, I'm not really interested. I'm doing okay. And that's the tooting of your own horn. I don't care if you are doing okay, where you're financially set, everything's great, everything's going good. When you don't have that, give it to where Yahweh can be, you can be a favor seeker from Yahweh. Psalms 35. I think I lost this one here. Give me just a second here. Flip over a couple pages here. All right, 35, 27, and 28. Okay, and we'll about wrap this up here. 27 and 28 here. Let them shout in triumph and rejoice who are desiring my justification. My justification is Yahweh saying that, yes, my justification, you are mine, you're my chosen, my justification, that you've redeemed, the group that I've called. When you are desiring my justification, and let them say continually, Yahweh be magnified, who hath taken pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Okay, all of it goes to Yahweh. The guy runs the touchdown. He gets an incredible pass, and he points Yahweh. All goes to Yahweh. And I'm like going, that's right. It's not you tooting your own horn. This is what we're doing. Yahweh's blessing us, and in turn, we're giving it all back. We're all pushing it back. Again, the five steps here, okay, as we go over, desiring for wisdom, to seek it out, the diligence, hanging tough, knowing what the word actually says and where we stand, what comes out of our mouth, and the last one is Yahweh takes pleasure in our prosperity. And I'm going to close here with David's great example of this. And so flip over to Psalms 119, okay, page 593. And we're going to be 57 through 61 of chapter 119. Okay, and so these are great words. This is a great example here, and I'll go ahead and read this. 57 through 61. My portion is Yahweh. I have promised that I would keep thy words, okay, his commandments, that he would follow him. I've promised it. I have sought the smile of thy face with all my heart. Think about that as a child. What child does not want to please, to have his parents looking down at him and being well pleased, and they got a big brim, a big grin on their face, and you're like going, the child, like, that's what I want. That makes me feel so good. I just shine. And this is what David's saying. With all my heart, show me favor according to thy word. Show me the favor, Yahweh. Show me the favor. Show me it in your word, that I may find it in your word as well, that I get the favor. I have thought upon my ways, and I have turned my feet unto the testimonies. I have hastened and not delayed to keep thy commandments. The meshes of the lawless have surrounded me. Thy lawless have I not forgotten. Okay, even with this, the David saying this, show me the favor, but I'm surrounded by an earthly world of people who want to do damage to me, who want to hurt me, who want to steal from me, who want to do unrighteous to me. Okay, and that is all. I'll go ahead and close here. Yahweh, we thank you for the words that you give, that we're able to come before you, and that we do seek your favor, and that it is you are wanting to pour this out upon us. That it is not us being greedy seeking your favor, but it is us as righteous children that want to come before you, that we do see you smiling down upon us, that we know that we are doing what you call us to do, and that we are being well-pleasing before you, and through these things that it is the great favor that you are to pour upon us. And we thank you, and we call for this, and mark ourselves that as we make the promises, we stand in those things, that we make anew, and we start over again, and we come before you daily and even multiple times during the day, that we reignite ourselves and rekindle the flame that you put within us, that we may burn hot, and that through this that people will see us, and that we give glory back to you, Yahweh, through your Son. And we just thank you for that. We thank you, Yehoshua, for what you have done and for being our head. And we thank you for the words that you put upon us, that we are able to speak these boldly and just have the Spirit just running through us, just flowing through us like a mighty river as we open our mouth, and just the words just flow out. So we thank you for this in your son's name, Christ Jesus. And my children, I do tell you that I am watching and I am seeing all the things that you do, and there is no hole or there is no cave that you can escape from me, that I see all these things. But through all these things, I'm calling you into repentance and I'm calling you into transformation, that through the transformation that I am able to beacon out through you. As a rock hits the water and waves go out on all sides and flow across vast distances, that these things I do for you as well, that I can drop these things within you and I can put these things and enable you with the mighty powers that I have, the powers that I request that you are already using, and that through my righteousness that you may be able to tap into these things and to be able to fulfill those ministries and those callings that I have before you, and that you do not stand slack or stand idle, but you come before me daily. And if you are not knowing me, that I call you to learn to know me, to open my scriptures and open the things up and bow down before me, kneel down before me and ask the information, ask, are you there? Because I will speak to you, I will call to you, and I will give you those words, and it will be in a still voice, and it will be in through messages that you see, and I will direct you to my written word. For my written word shows me that you are diligent to seek me and find me out. For even as things were hidden from kings in the scriptures, the worthy, the righteous will seek these things out and to uncover these and unbury these treasures that I have before you. And I am desiring for these to be uncovered and to be given to all, for all my children. For I desire that all men be saved, but those who come to me and follow my righteousness, I will bestow the favor that I have for them. Amen.